Please turn now in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 4 this morning. That's on page 984 of the Bibles provided for you. Colossians 3, 1 through 4 on page 984. We're pausing our regular series in the life of John this week to set our minds on Jesus' resurrection. To think about the importance of Jesus' resurrection. And so as I read here, notice how Jesus' new life and our connection with him should change our whole perspective on life, our whole perspective on who we are and how we interpret what's going on around us. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. This is the Word of God. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. What does it mean to find yourself? Or what does that look like, to find yourself? Our culture offers us all kinds of opportunities to do this and encourages us to do this, to find yourself. Maybe it's through travel or through going on a meditation retreat or maybe going away for college, or getting a therapy that helps you look deep inside yourself and find yourself, or maybe picking up a hobby that helps you unlock the potential that's inside of you. And we have this longing to know ourselves better. We know that something's not right. We know we don't understand ourselves properly, and we want life. We want purpose. And in these opportunities that the world gives us, often the focus is to look at yourself. The focus is look deeper inside. If you would only be more fully self-aware, you could find yourself. You could understand yourself properly. And as Christians, we have these struggles, these same struggles, to know who we really are, to know what we should focus on, to know what our lives should be focused on. But friends, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you trust in him, looking more at yourself isn't going to help you understand who you truly are. In what we just read here, Paul tells us that not to stay focused on ourselves. He challenges this idea that we need to constantly just be looking inside to find who we truly are. Paul says that we have to take our focus off of what's here on earth. And he tells us instead to shift our focus to Jesus' life in heaven. When you repent of your sin and believe in Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that you are united to him by that faith in a way that means that you have died and been raised yourself. If you believe in Jesus Christ, as Paul says here, you have already died and been raised because Jesus has died and been raised. And as we'll see this morning, that means that the life that Jesus is living now in heaven, the resurrected life that Jesus is living now, is more truly who you are than what you can see with your own eyes in this life here and now. That may seem a little abstract, and we'll get into this, we'll look at this more closely here. But Paul is telling us to do something here that doesn't come naturally to us, to look beyond ourselves, to look beyond this life, beyond this earth, to Jesus, if you really want to know who you truly are, what life truly is, if you want to live in a way that honors him. So brothers and sisters, if you have repented and believed in Jesus Christ, focus on Christ's life in heaven to know who you truly are. Focus on Christ's life in heaven to know who you truly are. And to understand why you should do that, why you should focus on Christ's life in heaven, you need to understand first about how Christ's resurrection, his death and resurrection, is so directly connected to you if you have faith in him. And the first key truth that we have to understand to get this is the fact of Jesus' own resurrection. So first of all, Christ is risen and living in heaven. First, this morning, Christ is risen and living in heaven. Where is Jesus right now? Have you ever thought about that? Has that thought crossed your mind? Have you thought about where Jesus himself is right now? He is still fully human. He did not give up his human nature when he ascended into heaven. He is still fully human, body and soul. His body is somewhere. And this passage tells us right here in verse 1 that we're to focus on heaven because that's where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. We see this several other places. Hebrews 1 verse 3 tells us, this is the verse we looked at in the table address a couple weeks ago, it says, after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus is alive, body and soul, in heaven right now. In Revelation chapter 1, when John has the vision of the resurrected, glorified Jesus, listen to how Jesus describes himself. He says, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. When we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we're not just celebrating some event that happened 2,000 years ago, some historical event about how he was raised. It's not just that he rose, it's that he is risen. That he is living now. He's alive now today, and he will never die again. He's living now in glory with God the Father, with the angels and the saints who've gone before us, the spirits of the saints who've gone before us, and he's living a full human life in heaven, a resurrected human life. In fact, Jesus is the only person currently living a full, God-glorifying human life in every aspect of his nature, body and soul. The saints who've gone before us, the Christians, the believers who've gone before us, their souls have gone to heaven, and Hebrews refers to them as the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and they are spiritually perfected, but their bodies have not been raised yet. And Jesus is the only one whose body has been perfectly raised and restored and has the resurrection body that is like the bodies all of us will have who trust in him for eternity. He's the only one, though, for now. He's the first fruits of the resurrection. And he's living that life now in heaven. And friends, it's critical in the Christian life to know and believe that Jesus is alive right now. When I was in college and we'd go home on breaks over the summer or around Christmas time, there were often breakups. You'd see a couple that spent every waking moment together during the semester, and then they would be apart for a little while. They'd have to be separated for a little while, and they'd go home, and all of a sudden that person isn't quite so real and there in your mind. And they'd get home and they'd start talking to their friends who are there, right there in their faces, who are flesh and blood, and they're talking to them. Maybe their friends don't like this person that they were dating, and they start to maybe sometimes treat that person as an idea of that person and not really think about them as a living, breathing person that they can interact with. And they've relegated that person to an idea, and then, sure enough, break ends, you come back, and a whole bunch of people have broken up because they haven't. And maybe sometimes it was a good thing. Maybe it refreshed their perspective. But the idea was they weren't together. They didn't see each other face to face. And the people they were around at home on break were more real and affected their thinking more directly than this other person they couldn't see face to face. Now, there is so much more to our relationship with Christ than what we see in a romantic earthly relationship. But there is the same danger that we treat him just as an idea, or as someone who used to exist, or that we had some kind of experience with in the past, or he was on this earth for a little while, if we don't think of him and actively think of him as a living, breathing, real person here and now, or now in heaven. When we can't see him face to face, which we can't right now, we're looking forward to that day when we can, and we can see all these other people face to face all the time, they may become more real and more influential in our lives than Jesus himself, but he is just as living as they are. And in fact, he is more living than they are. He is living more of the fully human existence, body and soul, to the glory of God than anyone around you. And to properly understand who you are in relationship to Christ, you need to understand, you need to know that he's living and active today. Does your idea of who Jesus is ever end with the ascension? When Jesus ascended into heaven, his disciples were there with him, and he was caught up into heaven. They literally saw him go up into the sky, and it says the clouds obscured him from view. But he didn't just evaporate at that point. He didn't just sort of go into the ether. He went somewhere, and he's been active ever since. And so I would encourage you today, maybe over lunch today, talk about what has Jesus been doing all this time? And specifically, think about in the Bible, in the New Testament, after he ascended into heaven, where do you see him active? Where do we get those glimpses of what he's doing? And talk about it. Try to come up with examples from Scripture. I'll give you a head start. Look at Acts chapter 9 and look at Revelation chapter 5. Think about what he's been doing. Think about him as living and active. And think also about how you talk about the resurrection. Again, there are people all around the world today celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that's wonderful to see his resurrection proclaimed in so many different places right now. But so often, that what we talk about, or maybe even the imagery that you see, is the empty tomb, which is good. The tomb is empty. He's not there anymore. And maybe the empty cross. But I think there's a temptation, if we only focus on those images and those ideas, that we have relegated it to the past. We've relegated it to something that happened 2,000 years ago, when what we're celebrating, again, is that he's living now. And I'm not saying we should try to come up with pictures of what it looks like in Jesus' life now in heaven, but we need to at least be talking that way, that it's not just some event on the far side of the world that happened in one particular time. It's the living Christ who is alive today. Now, Paul tells us here to put our focus on Christ and where he is, on heaven where Christ is. And then he goes on here to explain why, and to relate Christ's life to our life as believers. And that's the second truth that you need to know to properly understand who you are if you believe in Christ. And that's that you died and rose again with Christ. Christ is risen and living in heaven. And if you believe in him, if you've been united with him by faith, you died and rose again with Christ. Now, I've just stated that. I guess I did give a condition, but the point itself I've said is a fact, right? You died and rose again with Christ. But look at how Paul puts this in the very first verse of this chapter. He says, if then you have been raised with Christ. If you have been raised. That's conditional. He's saying there are some who have been raised with Christ, and there are some who have not been raised with Christ. And in the other passages where Jesus talks about us being raised with Christ, it's a fairly common thing. Paul speaks about it at several different places. Where he talks about us being raised with Christ, he often emphasizes where we used to be, who we were before we were raised with Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verses 1 through 3, Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, he says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. And then he says, but God, being rich in mercy. And he goes on and talks about how we've been raised with Christ. But there's this emphasis on how we weren't raised with Christ before. And the same is true in Romans chapter 6, another great passage on how we're raised with Christ, that we've died and risen with Christ. But he says, our old self was crucified with him. And he goes on and says, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. But by saying so that we would no longer be enslaved, he means if you haven't been crucified with Christ by faith, that you are still enslaved to sin. Jesus' death on the cross is a reminder of what you and I deserve without Christ. When John 3:16 says, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, the other side of that coin is to say that whoever does not believe in him will perish. And the consistent message of God's word is that sin deserves God's wrath and judgment. And the standard for that sin is not just what we think is right or what the world around us thinks is right. It's God's perfect standard, his perfect law that he's given us. And so this if here, that little word at the beginning of this chapter, is a big if. If you feel enslaved to sin right now, if you feel like you can't change, you can't break habits and change behavior in your life that you hate and that you know is wrong, if you feel enslaved to sin, it may be because you are enslaved to sin. If you fear the wrath of God that's coming, if you hear that idea and you know there's a day of judgment coming and a day of reckoning coming, and you have fear in your heart because of that, it could be because you are headed for the punishment of your sins. But the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that there is forgiveness in him. And this, having died and having been raised with him, is not something that you have to accomplish and strive after and somehow make happen in your life, that this is freely offered. That whoever believes in him is united with him in faith, so that it can be said, you have died and you have been raised with Christ. That if you will repent of your sin and confess that sin and put your trust in Jesus Christ, what he says here about you having died and you being raised and having new life in Christ is promised to you, is freely offered to you. Listen to the way that Paul puts this in Ephesians 2, 5, and 6. In Ephesians 2, 5, and 6, he says, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on after that and says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. If you believe in him, he says in what is a true mystery, something we can't fully comprehend, we are so united with Christ by faith that it can be said we have been raised and even seated with him in heaven. That's what it says in Ephesians 2, 6 that I just read, that he has seated us with him in the heavenly places. What true of him is true of you if you believe in him. What's true of him is true of you in a way that goes beyond just analogy. It's not just saying, well, our experience is kind of like what Jesus is experiencing. No, because we are united to him by faith, what's true of him is true of you. And it can be said, you have died and you have been raised. And then there's an already but not yet aspect of that we realize our full resurrection has not come yet. And so it's hard for us to wrap our minds around that. But we are so united with him by faith that we can say, Scripture can say, Paul can say here, that you have died. That's what he says in verse 3 here. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Friends, when we celebrate the resurrection, which is the whole reason we meet on the first day of the week every week, but when we celebrate the resurrection, it's not just the day of Jesus' resurrection, it's the day of your resurrection. Resurrection in him. Why would someone ever fake their own death? It's certainly been done many times. Many people have attempted it and failed. Some have succeeded. But think about why they do that. On the one hand, I think often it's trying to escape. Right? There's some kind of an obligation or a debt, or maybe even someone who's trying to kill that person, that they're trying to escape, and they think to appear dead is the only way to get out of that situation. In other cases, they want benefits that only death will bring. You have all kinds of insurance fraud. There was a man 25 years ago named Takashi Mori who walked away with $6 million in life insurance policies and almost got away with it. Didn't, because we know it happened because he didn't get away with it. But these are the two options, or two reasons, usually, right? They're trying to escape something, and they think death is the only way out, or they're trying to gain benefits that only come at death. But in either case, these people felt such a sense of desperation that appearing to be dead was the only answer. Friends, the Bible tells us that death is the only answer for our sin. The wages of sin is death. There is no escaping that result. But as everyone who has ever faked their death has thought, what if I could die and still be alive? What if you could escape through death and experience death and come out on the other side and receive the benefits that only come at death, but not die? And friends, the good news of the gospel is that Jesus gives that gift to sinners like you and me, but not a fake death, not a fraud, but in reality. He offers the opportunity to die and not die, to receive the escape from sin and the escape from slavery that death brings, and also receive all the benefits of his death for us without dying yourself. Friends, if you have died in Christ, sin has no claim on you anymore. You have died and are alive again. You've been set free from sin and death. Even though they have seemed inescapable before, and you've been made alive to enjoy the benefits of life afterwards. Do you believe this about yourself? Do you believe that you have died? That this is true, what Paul says here. For you have died. Do you believe that that's true, that you have been raised with Christ? When are you tempted not to believe that? Maybe when you stumble and struggle with sin, and you've fallen again in a sin that you thought you were gaining victory over, and there's that little voice in your head that says to you, you're not different. You haven't changed. God hasn't given you a new heart. You're never going to break out of this cycle. You're never going to be free from this. Or maybe there's even a person in your life who is talking to you that way, who is mocking your faith and says, look at you. Look at what you're doing. How can you keep doing this? How do you claim to be a Christian when I see these things in your life all the time? And when we hear that, and if they're right, that we have sinned, then we should grieve over that sin and repent of it. But if you have repented of this sin and put your trust in Jesus Christ, believe the word of God here that says you have died. You are different. You are raised. You have new life in you that you didn't have before because Jesus died and was raised, and you died and rose with him. Sin has no right to have control over you anymore if you are united to Christ by faith. Now, this struggle that I've just been talking about is related to the fact that we sure don't always look raised from the dead. We don't look different physically from the people around us, but that's actually what Paul addresses next here in this passage. Christ is risen and living in heaven, and you died and rose again with him. So thirdly, your life on earth is not who you truly are. So your life on earth is not who you truly are. When you're raised with Christ, in the way that I've been talking about here, when you united him with him by faith, and you can say, I've died and been raised from the dead, that doesn't literally change your physical appearance in this world. There's no halo that pops up above your head. You don't start glowing. You don't have bright white clothing like Jesus in the Transfiguration that suddenly just says, this is a person who's been raised from the dead. And in that moment, when you're saved for the first time, there's no mark that appears on your forehead. There's nothing that physically distinguishes you from the people around you. Visibly, you're the same person. But 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that when the resurrection comes, we will be changed. That when everyone is raised from the dead at Jesus' return, it says we will be changed. And the resurrection body will not be just like our bodies now. In 1 Corinthians 15 there, Paul says the bodies that we lay down in the grave are like a seed compared to the plant that will come out from that. when we compare our bodies that we lay down in the grave to what we will be, the way we will be resurrected. They will be our bodies. We will be resurrected and restored, but they will be different. But to get back to us now then, yes, we've been raised with Christ, but we haven't been fully transformed yet. We haven't been fully and completely resurrected yet. And that's what Paul means here in verses 3 and 4 when he says that our life is hidden with Christ in God. And then that it will appear later. He's saying we have been raised, but who we are in that resurrection life is not visible in this world yet completely. And it will be revealed in the future. The Apostle John says the same thing in 1 John 3, 2 and 3. 1 John 3, 2 and 3. He says, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." Friends, what you look like here and now is not all of who you are. Paul's point here about focusing on Christ's life in heaven is that if you don't do that, you won't know who you truly are, because who you are here and now is not all of who you are. If you just look at yourself here on this earth, you won't think and act in a way that matches who you truly are, because you can't see all of who you truly are here in this life. If you only compare yourself with the people around you and with the people and with the things on this earth, you will have the wrong idea of who you are and who you should be and what you should pursue in this life. When I delivered parts to body shops, I saw a lot of cars in rough shape. And there were quite a few shops that would have vehicles just sort of scattered around the property, tucked into corners, just falling apart. All kinds of disarray. And they looked to me like they were junkers. They were all missing parts. They were filthy. Most of them looked like they were just going to keep on rusting until they rusted away or were crushed for scrap metal. But I learned over time that some of those cars were valuable, beloved cars that were going to be fully restored one day. And getting to see some of those full restorations was amazing. To see a vehicle that looked like it was just another rust bucket that was falling apart and it was just gonna be crushed with the rest of the junkers around it, but then to see it transformed and to be fully restored again was amazing. To an untrained eye, when I saw all those junkers all together outside, it just looked like they were all the same and none of them were worth anything. But to someone who had seen a restoration like that done and who knew vehicles better than I did, and knew what that finished product could look like, that person then would treat that vehicle differently from how I would have. It would treat that vehicle in a way that preserved it for its future restoration, that kept its future restoration in mind. And in the same way, friends, if you just look at yourself in comparison to the people around you and to the life that you are experiencing now, if you only look at this life and all of the grime and all of your missing parts, and all the pieces falling off of you, you're not going to act in a way that actually pertains to who you truly are and who you are going to be. But if you set your mind on Christ, on the only one who has been fully restored, who has been truly resurrected and is living that full human life, body and soul, then you will know who you truly are and how you should act and how you should think and how you should treat yourself. You'll know what parts of your life are going to be replaced, but you'll also know which parts of your life carry on into the next. And to know that, to really understand yourself properly, then you have to keep your mind focused on Christ and on the life that he has now, on his character, on his full human existence, body and soul, on his freedom from death and sin, and on the priorities that he has. And friends, to do that, to understand yourself properly, who you are now in Christ, you have to discipline your mind to do that. You have to, what Paul is telling us to do here with the command in this passage is about mindset. It's a command to focus your mind. It's a command not to just be carried along by what you would naturally do or what's naturally going on around you, but to set your mind on things above. You're having to set your mind on things that are hidden, and it's not going to come naturally to us. What you see all day, every day in your daily life, the flesh and blood people around you, the struggles of life, the things that you don't have to do anything to experience, those things will naturally seem more real to you, and you have to set your mind on what you can't see for the rest of, to have the right mindset about who you are in Christ. Now, as I studied this passage this week, I kept wanting to jump to the nuts and bolts of what these things in heaven and things on earth are. I wanted to say, okay, so he talks about things in heaven. What does he mean? He talks about things on earth. What does he mean by those things? And I wanted to jump right there, but I think we needed to stay here for now, because if we do that, if we jump too quickly to the nuts and bolts of it, we actually may end up overlooking Christ in the process. We have to remember that when we talk about these things in heaven and things on earth, we have to start by remembering Christ as the foundation of that. But I would encourage you, I hope this morning that my goal has been to bring you these verses to lay the foundation and to whet your appetite to know what are these things in heaven, what are these things on earth. And I would encourage you to study the chapter before this, Colossians 2, and the rest of chapter 3 to find out, because Paul goes into great detail about things on heaven, things in heaven and things on earth. The things, just to give you a head start again, the things on earth include the self-made religion in chapter 2, the asceticism and the man-made religion in chapter 2, and it also includes the sins and the wrong ways of thinking and acting in chapter 3. And then the things in heaven includes the rest of chapter 3 with the character of Christ that we find there, the righteous attitudes, the good attitudes, the selflessness, the compassion, the goodness that's described in the rest of chapter 3. But read these chapters and study them to know what are these things in heaven and these things in earth, things on earth. Friends, set Christ as the bar. If all you do is emulate what's here on earth, even if it's the best this world has to offer, even if it's the most mature believers that you know, most mature believers in your church family, you have set the bar too low. They aren't living the full life, the full God-glorifying human life that Jesus is living now. Now, in whatever ways those people around you imitate Christ, do imitate them. That's a biblical concept itself. But keep your ultimate focus on Christ and on who he is. Now, friends, the Christian faith isn't ultimately about finding yourself. We live to give glory to God. And we find our purpose ultimately when we stop living for ourselves. And we live for our Lord and for the people around us. But at the same time, Christianity is not like the Eastern pantheistic religions where your individuality is lost and you just want to be just subsumed into the oneness of the universe, and you just want to be lost because you don't truly exist as an individual anyway. You just want to become one with everything. Instead, when you repent and believe in Jesus, you are united to him in a way that preserves your individuality as a beloved child of God, but also gives you all the benefits of being united to Jesus Christ in his death and in his resurrection. And if you want to understand who you truly are, to understand what your life should look like, what your purpose is, what you should be spending your life focused on, you need to look outside of yourself, to look up from this world that we're living in and focus on Christ in heaven. And one day, if you do trust in him, that fully human existence, that spiritual and physical new life in perfection, it won't be something you just have to see with the eyes of faith. It will be what you see with your own eyes. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Let's pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for the good news of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord, because this takes faith, and we have to see this with the eyes of faith, that you would give us great faith by the work of your Spirit. That you would help us, by setting our minds on things above, to believe and to know in our daily lives that you are alive and that your life in heaven is who we truly are through union with Christ. Lord, please give us that hope. Give us that proper perspective that then will shape how we approach every part of our lives. And Lord, I pray that for any here this morning who do not know you, who have not been raised with Christ, that you would give the gift of faith, that this good news would be good news. Lord, help us all to hear the good news of the gospel and to keep saying the good news of the gospel to each other, because we don't stop needing to hear it just because we believed it once. Please keep us and preserve us until that day when we will see you face to face. And we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye.